All right, let's jump right in today. We're diving deep into making our IT systems, those digital infrastructures, much more secure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a critical topic, and it's only getting more complex with every passing day.
It really is. And luckily, we've got this fantastic resource to guide us, all set of research papers, all focused on this really cool method. It leverages this concept of a digital twin.
Oh, yeah, digital twins, they're basically a virtual replica of a real system.
Exactly. It's like a safe sandbox where you can test out all sorts of security strategies.
Exactly, without the risk of actually breaking anything in your real-world system.
Right, because who wants to do that?
Nobody.
And this research, they've outlined everything in CAPA.pdf, right? They take this digital twin concept even further. It's not just about building the twin. It's about using it to create automated security responses that are actually data-driven.
That's the real power of this approach, using data to drive decisions, not just relying on intuition or guesswork.
Right, exactly. And one of the things that really impressed me about this research is how they tackle this thing called the curse of dimensionality.
Ah, yes, the curse of dimensionality. A fancy way of saying that modern IT systems are just mind-bogglingly complex.
Yeah, it's like trying to herd 1,000 cats. You've got all these servers, all these interconnected devices, all running different software.
And all vulnerable in different ways. It's a nightmare to try and secure manually.
It really is. So how do they even begin to wrap their heads around that level of complexity?
Well, they start by gathering a massive amount of data from the digital twin, measurements, logs, anything they can get their hands on. And then they use this data to build a model. This model simulates how attackers and defenders might interact.
So they're basically building a virtual battleground.
In a way, yes. They're creating a simulation where they can pit different attack and defense strategies against each other.
That's fascinating. And what's the theoretical framework behind all of
It's
this?
all based on game theory.
Game theory, like the stuff they teach in economics classes?
The very same. But it's not just about poker and chess. Game theory is a powerful tool for understanding strategic decision-making in any situation where multiple players are involved.
And in cybersecurity, you've obviously got two key players, the attacker and the defender.
Exactly, each with their own goals and strategies. And game theory gives us a way to model those interactions, to understand the dynamics of that conflict.
Okay, I'm starting to see how this all fits together, but there's got to be a catch, right? I mean, we can't always predict what an attacker is going to do.
You're absolutely right, and that's where things get even more interesting. They introduce this concept of a partially observable stochastic game, or POSG.
Okay, POSG. That sounds like a mouthful. Break it down for me.
Basically, it means that we have to make decisions with incomplete information. We can't see the entire game board, so to speak. And there's also an element of randomness involved.
So it's like playing chess in the dark
Okay.
against an opponent who's constantly changing the
That's a
rules.
pretty good analogy.
And to make matters even worse, they make this really scary assumption about the attacker. They assume that the attacker knows everything.
They do. It's a worst-case scenario assumption. But it forces us to think about defense strategies that are truly robust.
Yeah, that's a sobering thought. So we've got this digital twin, this complex game theory model, and this all-knowing attacker. What's the next step? How do they actually put all of this into practice?
They use a platform called the Cybersecurity Learning and Emulation Platform, or CSLE.
CSLE, okay.
Yeah, it's a pretty impressive piece of technology. Essentially, it's a virtual playground where they can simulate all sorts of different attacks.
Like a digital cyber range?
Precisely. They can simulate everything from simple reconnaissance attacks, where the attacker is just poking around trying to gather information, to full-blown exploits, targeting specific vulnerabilities in the system.
So they're really putting this digital twin through its paces.
They are. And they're not just throwing random attacks at it. They're using a framework called MITRE, ATT&CK.
MITRE, ATT&CK. Now that sounds familiar.
It's a knowledge base of real-world adversary tactics and techniques. It's based on observations of actual cyber attacks. So it's not just theoretical, it's grounded in reality.
So they're simulating realistic attack scenarios using this digital twin, and then using that data to develop better defenses.
Exactly. And they've applied this approach to a wide range of security challenges, not just preventing intrusions, but also responding to them, tolerating them, even defending against those advanced persistent threats, or APTs, that we hear so much about.
Okay, we've got a lot to unpack here. I'm really intrigued by all of this, but I think we need to take a closer look at each of those specific scenarios, starting with intrusion prevention. How do they actually stop these attacks from happening in the first place?
Well, that's where things get really interesting. And it might surprise you to learn that their approach to intrusion prevention is actually quite counterintuitive.
Okay, now you've got my attention. Let's dive in.
Yeah, so they actually found that sometimes the best strategy is waiting.
Waiting?
Yeah, instead of jumping in and reacting to every little suspicious thing that happens.
That's counterintuitive, isn't it? I mean, isn't the whole point of security to, like, stop attacks as quickly as possible?
Well, yeah, you would think so. But their research actually showed that acting too early can be worse than waiting.
Okay, I'm officially intrigued now.
It all comes down to this concept called optimal stopping theory. Have you heard of that?
I can't say that I have.
It's this really cool idea from, like, probability and statistics. It's all about finding the best point to take action in a process that unfolds over time.
Okay, I'm listening.
So imagine you're, like, trying to sell a stock. You don't want to sell too early and miss out on potential gains, but you also don't want to hold on for too long and risk losing money if the price drops.
Right. Makes sense.
Optimal stopping theory helps you find that sweet spot, that point where the expected value of taking action is maximized.
Okay. I see where you're going with this. So how does that apply to cybersecurity?
Well, in the same way that there's an optimal time to sell a stock, there's also an optimal time to take defensive action against a cyber attack.
So sometimes it's better to wait and gather more information before acting.
Exactly. And the researchers found that this is especially true when you're dealing with dynamic attackers.
Those are the ones who change their tactics based on what the defender does.
Exactly. Yeah. If you act too early, you might just be tipping your hand, giving the attacker information about your defenses and allowing them to adapt their strategy.
Okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you know when to wait and when to act?
That's the million-dollar question, right? And the researchers have developed these really sophisticated algorithms. They use data from the digital twin to try and figure out the optimal time to act.
So they're basically teaching machines to be cybersecurity experts.
In a way, yeah. They're training these algorithms to recognize subtle patterns in the data, to distinguish between real attacks and false alarms.
That's incredible. And they're doing all of this in real time.
Well, not quite real time, but they're getting pretty close.
That's still amazing. So what are some of the specific algorithms they're using?
One of the key algorithms they use is called a partially observable Markov decision process, or POMDP.
POMDP, okay.
It's a mouthful, I know.
Yeah.
But it's a really powerful tool for making decisions in situations where you have incomplete information.
And in cybersecurity, you almost always have incomplete information.
Exactly. Right? You never know for sure what the attacker is up to. You just have to piece together clues from the data you have.
So it's like being a detective. Trying to solve a mystery.
Exactly. And a POMDP helps you figure out the best course of action based on the evidence you have at hand.
Okay, so they've got these algorithms that can help them decide when to act. But what about the actions themselves? What kind of defensive measures are they taking?
Well, it depends on the specific attack, but they're exploring a wide range of options, everything from blocking IP addresses to shutting down entire systems.
Oh, that's serious stuff.
It is. And the decision about which action to take is not always straightforward. It's a balancing act. You have to weigh the cost of each action against the potential risk of the attack.
So there's no one-size-fits-all solution.
Exactly. Every attack is different, and every system is different, so you need a flexible and adaptable approach.
Okay, this is all starting to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious about something. You mentioned earlier that this research also tackles intrusion response. What do they mean by that?
So intrusion response is what happens after an attack has already occurred. It's about how you contain the damage, recover your systems, and learn from the experience.
So it's like the cleanup crew after a cyber hurricane.
That's a good analogy. And the researchers have some really innovative ideas in this area as well. They've developed algorithms that can help organizations automate their intrusion response processes.
Okay, I'm all ears. Tell me more.
One of the key concepts they've explored is this idea of fictitious play.
Fictitious play. Sounds like something kids do in the playground.
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. But the basic idea is that you simulate a series of repeated interactions between the attacker and the defender.
So it's like a game of cat and mouse. But they're playing it over and over again to try and figure out the best moves.
Exactly. And by analyzing the results of these simulations, they can develop strategies that are more effective against dynamic attackers.
Those attackers who are constantly adapting and learning, right?
Exactly. Fictitious play helps you stay one step ahead.
This is fascinating stuff. So they're using these simulations to develop better intrusion response strategies. What else are they doing in this area?
Well, another key area of their research is intrusion tolerance.
Intrusion tolerance. That sounds almost like giving up.
Not at all. It's about recognizing that in some cases, preventing every single attack might be impossible or impractical.
So it's about damage control, minimizing the impact of an attack, even if you can't completely stop it.
Exactly. And their approach to intrusion tolerance focuses on two key aspects. Recovery and replication.
Okay, break those down for me.
Recovery is about getting your systems back up and running as quickly as possible after an attack.
So it's like having a good backup and disaster recovery plan.
Precisely. And replication is about having redundant systems in place so that if one system goes down, another one can take over.
Like having a spare tire in your car.
Exactly. And they've developed some really clever algorithms to manage this delicate balance between recovery and replication.
So they're basically building systems that can bend but not break.
That's a great way to put it. And their work in this area has implications that go far beyond cybersecurity.
Really? How so?
Well, think about any system that needs to be resilient. Power grids, transportation systems, financial networks, they all need to be able to handle disruptions. And the principles of intrusion tolerance can be applied to make those systems more robust.
Okay, I see what you mean. So this research has the potential to make our world a safer and more resilient place.
Absolutely. And it all starts with understanding the threat and developing effective strategies to mitigate it.
This has been an incredible journey so far, but we're not done yet, are we?
No, we still got a lot more ground to cover.
I'm ready for it.
Yeah, we've covered a lot of ground, haven't we?
We have. It's pretty mind-blowing stuff. But I think it's important to, like, bring it back down to earth a bit.
Right, make it relatable.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What does all of this mean for the average person? You know, someone who's just trying to stay safe online?
That's a great question. And I think one of the most important takeaways from this research is that awareness is key.
Okay, awareness.
We need to understand that the threat landscape is constantly evolving.
Right, it's not a static thing.
Exactly. And we can't just rely on outdated security practices. We have to be proactive about our security.
So what does that look like in practice? What can we actually do to protect ourselves?
Well, a good place to start is with education, understanding the types of threats that are out there, how they work, and how to defend against them.
Okay, education. But where do you even begin? There's so much information out there.
Yeah, it can be overwhelming. But there are some great resources available, like the MIRE ATT&CK framework that we talked about earlier.
Right, that knowledge base of adversary tactics and techniques.
Exactly. It's a great way to learn about the different types of attacks that are out there and how they're being used in the real world.
Okay, so knowledge is power. But what about concrete actions? What can we do to make ourselves less vulnerable?
Well, a lot of it comes down to basic security hygiene. Strong passwords, multi-factor authentication, keeping your software updated. Those things are still incredibly important.
Right. Those are the fundamentals.
Exactly. And they make a huge difference.
And what about those social engineering attacks that you mentioned earlier?
Ah, yes. Those are becoming increasingly common.
You know, those phishing emails and those scam calls. They're getting really sophisticated.
They are. And the best defense against those types of attacks is awareness. Being skeptical of any unsolicited communication and never giving away personal information unless you're absolutely sure who you're talking to.
Okay, so be cautious and don't be afraid to ask questions.
Exactly. And if something seems too good to be true, it probably is.
Right, good advice. So we've talked about what individuals can do to protect themselves, but what about organizations? How can they apply these research findings to improve their security posture?
I'm glad you asked that, because this research has some really important implications for organizations as well.
Okay, let's hear.
First and foremost, I think this research highlights the importance of investing in security research and development.
Right, we need to be constantly innovating, staying ahead of the curve.
Exactly. And this research shows that there are some really promising avenues to explore, like the use of digital twins and game theory.
Yeah, those were some of the most fascinating aspects of this research.
They really are, and they have the potential to revolutionize the way we approach security.
So organizations should be thinking about how they can incorporate those concepts into their security strategies.
Absolutely. And they should also be thinking about how they can build more resilient systems. Systems that can withstand attacks and continue operating even in the face of adversity.
Right, that idea of intrusion tolerance that we talked about earlier.
Exactly. It's not just about building an impenetrable fortress anymore. It's about building a system that can bend but not break.
I like that analogy. So it's about having a multi-layered approach to security.
Precisely. And it's about being proactive, anticipating threats, and taking steps to mitigate them before they can cause harm.
Okay, so that's the big picture view. But what about the nitty-gritty details? What are some specific things that organizations can do to improve their security?
Well, one of the most important things is to have a strong security culture.
Security culture.
Yeah, it's about making security everyone's responsibility, not just the IT departments.
So it's about creating a mindset where everyone is aware of security risks and takes steps to mitigate them.
Exactly. And it's about having clear policies and procedures in place and making sure that everyone is trained on them.
Right, because even the best technology in the world won't help you if your employees are clicking on phishing links.
That's a great point. And speaking of technology, organizations also need to invest in the right tools and technologies.
Like what?
Well, things like intrusion detection and prevention systems, firewalls, antivirus software, those are all essential. But it's also important to have tools that can help you detect and respond to more sophisticated threats, like those APTs that we talked about earlier.
Those are the stealthy ones that can fly under the radar for months.
Exactly. And those are the ones that can cause the most damage.
So how do you defend against those?
Well, it's not easy, but there are tools that can help. Things like security information and event management systems, or SIEMs.
SIEMs, yeah.
They collect and analyze security data from across your entire IT infrastructure, looking for patterns that might indicate an attack.
So it's like having a central nervous system for your security.
That's a great analogy. And SIEMs can be really powerful tools, but they're only as good as the data you feed them.
Right. Garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly. So it's important to make sure you're collecting the right data and that you're analyzing it effectively.
Okay. This is all really helpful information.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to admit, I'm still feeling a little overwhelmed by all of this.
I understand. It's a complex topic and it's easy to get lost in the details.
Yeah, but I think the main thing I'm taking away from this conversation is that security is not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing process.
Absolutely. It's a journey, not a destination.
And we need to be constantly learning and adapting. Staying one step ahead of the bad guys.
That's the key. And I think this research is giving us the tools and knowledge we need to do just that.
I agree. This has been an incredibly insightful deep dive. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us.
It's been my pleasure. And remember, stay curious, stay safe, and keep learning.
Excellent advice. And to our listeners, we encourage you to explore the source material, kappa.pdf, for yourselves. There's a wealth of information in there that can help you navigate this complex and ever-changing world of cybersecurity. Until next time, stay vigilant.